Boy, I like that tonight. I enjoyed this choir singing this evening, special. And I'm glad, thank God, that my name's in the book of life tonight. The Lamb's book of life. Nobody can take it out. It's kept by the Lord. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:30 that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. God's got his seal on it. Well, I'm glad for the opportunity to be able to stand tonight. If you would open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings chapter number 22 tonight. If you study the Bible, this will be a familiar passage to you. I just want to give you tonight what God's put upon my heart. Begin reading tonight in verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" Please listen to the response now of Ahab, king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Let's bow our heads and pray tonight. Our Father, I thank you for the marvelous grace of God. I thank you for salvation through the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And Father, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son to take our place on the cross. Thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Speak tonight, Lord, and give us exactly what we have need of. Our Father, we thank you for it. We need you. We're desperate. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. In our passage this evening, you'll notice that the king of Israel is mentioned, who is Ahab, and then Jehoshaphat, who is the king of Judah. And I want to lay just a foundation a little bit tonight to get us in the thought that God has put upon our hearts this evening, that there is a vast difference between the king of Israel and the king of Judah. Now, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, made a bad mistake. He made a bad mistake, and we'll get to that in just a little while. But the king of Israel is Ahab. And the Bible teaches us this, that Ahab done more evil in the sight of God than any other king before him. And God's anger was against Ahab. the king of Israel. The word of God said this, that he thought it a light thing to go and marry a woman that was the daughter of a king of Zidonian, who was Jezebel. Now, I'm glad, thank God, tonight that I don't have a Jezebel. I tell you, you ought to thank God tonight if you've got a good wife, a good woman that loves you and takes care of you. Now, you bear with me this evening while I bring the message that God's put upon my heart. Now, I'm telling you the truth tonight, that there are a lot of Jezebels. And there's Jezebels in the church. And all they want to do is stir trouble. Jezebel was a murderer. She gave her word and sent men to kill the prophets of God. And not only that, but she also had Naboth killed just because Ahab coveted his vineyard. And I'm glad that my wife's not a Jezebel. You said, well, preacher, what'd she do on the way to church tonight? My wife reached over while I'm driving and took my hand and prayed on our way to church and asked God to show up for the Spirit of God to be here tonight and for the Lord to anoint me to preach his infallible word. Now, I want to say tonight that a Jezebel does not do that. But a Jezebel is nothing but a liar, a deceiver, and one that will murder and kill. Even if it's not physically, they'll do it with their tongue. The tongue tonight is full of deadly poison. And Ahab thought it a light thing to go marry Jezebel. And that angered God Almighty because of what he done. And thinking of it so lightly. And the word of God tells us tonight in the text said, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now listen, God is going to get back. Listen, God will judge. God will bring judgment. And Elijah had just spoken prior to this verse, in verse number 25 of chapter 21, that because of the acts and the ungodliness of Ahab, that God was going to bring his seed to naught. He was going to destroy his generation. He was going to wipe him out completely and totally because of what Ahab done. Ahab, along with Jezebel, built groves. They worshiped Baal and served Baal. Now the opposite tonight is to look at Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, his name means God is judge, or God has judged. The Bible said this, that in the context with Jehoshaphat, it said that the Lord was with him. Well, I searched the scripture and nowhere did I find concerning Ahab that it said that the Lord was ever with Ahab. But it said he was with Jehoshaphat. Amen. And the reason he was with Jehoshaphat is because Jehoshaphat went into Judah, which had gotten into idolatry, and he tore down the groves, he tore down the idols, he brought back the men to serve in the temple, and the Bible said that Jehoshaphat sought the face of the Lord. He set his heart toward the face of God to serve him and to worship him. God blessed the life of Jehoshaphat. Now he made the mistake, and this is also recorded in the book of 2 Chronicles, that he made allegiance with Ahab. Listen, there's no way that we should ever make allegiance with evil. None of us at all tonight. We cannot tonight be friends with the world. We cannot live like the world and act like the world and call ourselves children of God. That won't work. It's like mixing water and oil. It will not mix together.
And listen, you may not know it tonight, but there's people out there. It might be your neighbor, it might be your children, it might be your grandchildren, but they're watching every single thing you do. You get saved by the grace of God and you start witnessing and testifying. People's eyes and ears are open to everything you say. Everything you do, they're watching. And Jehoshaphat came down and sat down at Ahab's table. Ahab fed him and talked kindly to him. And all of a sudden, they made a covenant together. And that'll never work. It'll never work. We can't walk hands in hands with the world. We got to be separated from the world, be different from the world, or God will not honor it. God will not bless it. He'll not bless your life. It'll be nothing but a falsehood. And listen, Ahab was a wicked king. He despised God. He despised his word. When Elijah come to him, he said this, "Are you the one that's troubling Israel?" He said, "Oh, Elijah, have you found me?" And Elijah said, "Yeah, I found thee." Listen, you can't hide from God tonight. God knows everything. I tell you what, I appreciate the pastor, our pastor tonight. I do. He's been teaching on Wednesday nights, and if you've missed it, you've missed a lot. If you've missed it, you've missed a ton. And it's been a help to me, and I'm so thankful. This past Wednesday night, the preacher taught on the fleshly mind and the spiritual mind. Listen, they don't mix together, and there is a fleshly mind. And every single one of us in this building can be led by the fleshly mind, and the fleshly mind will lead us down the wrong path. Say, "Well, now, preacher, I've never been down the wrong path." Let me shake your hand, because I know you're lying like a dog. You're a liar tonight. Every one of us in this building have gone astray. We've forsaken God. We've turned our backs on Him sometime in the time of trouble, in the time of heartache. But listen, He's still our friend. He's still the best friend I have. I can tell Him anything that's inside my heart. Don't even have to say it out loud. And you know something? He don't spread no gossip on me. He don't tell no tales on me. But He just loves me for who I am. Bless His name. Bless His name. Better be careful who you pour your heart out to and open your heart to. Yeah. They'll tell somebody else, but not God. Amen. He's merciful. The Bible said this, that Ben-Hadad in Syria came down against Ahab and said unto Ahab, said, "Listen, your silver, your wives, your children, your homes, and everything you got, everything that's pleasant to my sight or my servant's sight, they're mine." He threatened Ahab. And you know what Ahab done? He caved. He said, "Okay, all right." And so Ahab gathered the elders together and he told them exactly what he said unto Ben-Hadad. And they said, "Oh no, don't do that. Don't do it." And so Ahab sort of changed his mind. But listen, the word of God said this, that God sent a prophet. He sent a man of God. And listen, our churches need men of God. We need people that will preach the Bible. We need to pray that God will raise up some young man, if he tarries his coming, that will preach this Bible without fear, without favor, preach it like it is to sinners like we are. Made a threat against Ahab, but God came down and with a prophet and said, "I want you to go speak to them And he stood up and said, look, behold, all this multitude, all the thousands. Listen, the Syrians had a massive army. It was huge. It was massive. It would have been nothing for them to literally wipe out Israel. The man of God said, you see this host? Said, God is going to deliver it into your hands. God's going to deliver it into your hands. And said, when I do, when God does, then you will know that I am the Lord. God wanted Ahab to know he's the Lord, not the gods that he prayed to in the groves, that he bowed down and worshiped the stars and the goddess of Ashtaroth and all that Jezebel brought in. He wanted him to know that he was God. And that's where God placed his name, in Jerusalem, and that was God's land. And it wasn't for idols. Listen, God is a jealous God tonight. You know something, I kept reading that, and boy, I tell you what, God just came down and literally destroyed, I believe it was, with about 1,732 soldiers, something like that, just destroyed the armies, and those Syrians, they fled from the presence of Israel. But it said that Ben-Hadad snuck off on horseback. He got away. He got away. He wasn't supposed to get away. You know something? I kept thumbing, kept looking, and kept looking, and kept thumbing, kept looking. And did you know that after that Ahab never said, thank you, Lord? He never said, thank you, Lord. Yeah. One of the saddest things for us tonight is to be unthankful toward our God. Amen. Yeah. Listen, he's doing things for you tonight that you're not even aware of. There's things happening out there in the principalities in the air above us. There's a warfare going on that God's built a hedge about us and protecting us tonight that we don't even have a clue. You go to sleep tonight. You wake up in the morning, you're to thank God for that. Thank him for another day. At the end of the day, and you get ready to lay down, you're to thank God that he got you through another day and allowed you to live. Be thankful tonight for what God done. And nowhere did Ahab ever thank God. And so God allowed the Syrians to come back a second time. The Syrians, old Ben-Hadad said this, and all right, these people whipped us because their God is a God of the hills and not a God of the valleys. The Lord didn't like that. No, that stirred the Lord up. And said, we'll go out, we'll get them. We'll go down and we'll catch them. The Bible said this, that the Israelites were spread out down there in the plain and they were encamped like two little flocks. That's all. And yet it said about the Syrians that the mountains were all covered with Assyrians, and they were ready to break out and come down against the children of Israel. And the man of God came again the second time and said, Ahab, God's going to deliver this army into your hands. He'll do it tonight. And you know something? When God says something, he means it. And he done exactly what he said he would. And you know something? I couldn't find another thank you, Lord, from Ahab at all. It's because Ahab had a wicked heart. Yeah. It was wicked. Served other gods. You can go back to the book of 2 Chronicles. You can study about Jehoshaphat. And I'm telling you, Jehoshaphat had a lot of good things about him. A lot of good stuff, it was said in there, that he done. And the man of God told him that. And he rebuked him. Jehu came and rebuked Jehoshaphat later because of his allegiance and told him, said, you shouldn't sit down with the one that doesn't love the Lord and help the one that hates God. It was wrong to do, and because of that, the wrath of God's upon you. And then the very next verse said this, but said, now these good things in you, said your heart seeks after the Lord. You've torn down the idols that was there in Judah. And it said that Jehoshaphat left there peaceably. Now I want us to look at something tonight. I read in the context of the scripture tonight that 400 prophets of Ahab were gathered together. 400 of them. And they all had the same message. May I say this tonight, that the only time that the churches in this nation ought to have the same message is the message about Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. The blood is shed, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's when we ought to agree. And if we don't agree about that, then it's a waste. We can believe different on some doctrines, a few things here and there, and disagree on things like that, but we better agree about the message of Christ. His deity, who he is. He's God in the flesh. He's seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, making intercession for you and I. He died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, and arose again, ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. 400 of these, old Zedekiah got out there and said, man, I'm going to make this thing look good. He made him some horns out of iron. I can see them just like they were theatrical. And he took him old horns and said, this is exactly, you go on to Ramoth Gilead, King Ahab, said, God's going to drive. And he used them horns just to drive them out. Said, God's going to drive them away from you. And I'm sure that Jehoshaphat said, now listen, you know, I wasn't raised on preaching like that. There's something fishy about all 400 of these agreeing. All 400 agreeing the same. You know something? I watched something here. It's been a few weeks ago that I think is an abomination. And he's an evangelist that flies all across this country. And of course, when he's in his personal multi-million-dollar jet, he said that he's closer to God. You might catch on who I'm talking about here in just a little while. He was preaching. I don't call him a preacher. He was in a meeting with another preacher. And they were celebrating the communion service. And he had a cup of wine sitting there. And this man took a knife and lanced his hand and dripped it in that cup of wine. And then he had the other pastor come over and he cut his hand and dripped it in that cup of wine. And he stood there and shook it up and he took that cup as if it was a cup of communion and said, now this has joined us, me and this preacher, together in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something tonight, that it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has bound us together in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of the living God, and not by shedding of their blood, his blood, but only Christ's blood. Amen. And he took a sip of that cup and said, now that we're one in that. That's an abomination. That's blasphemy. Something's fishy going on. I want to say tonight that you might not be in here, you may be listening out there, but if you're sitting in a church and all you hear every single week is to blow you up and lift you up and tell you how good you are and the possibilities that God can make out of you, you're in the wrong place. I'll never forget. Would you let me preach just a minute? Is it okay just to preach a minute? I told you, I think last time, probably every time I stand up, I got saved January 1st, 1977. That's the newest thing. I done every drug came down the pike, and I'm telling you, when Christ came into my heart, that's the greatest thing ever happened to me, never compared with nothing else I ever done. Man, I was walking in the clouds, and I was hungry for God. I was seeking everything I could to get closer to God. An old boy I was in the service with was a Church of God. And so he started telling me about the things going on in the Church of God, and I got curious, and I really got curious about it. And me and Shelley started going to Rogers Lane Church of God in Lawton, Oklahoma. And man, that preacher was preaching, and he was talking about, man, this person's healed over here, and that one's healed over here. I'm telling you, everybody was healed here and healed there. I'm telling you, miracles all around. Huh? As a young convert, stuff like that excited me. But it taught me something wrong, and that was to live by sight and by feeling. I'm going to tell you something, the sight can deceive you, your feelings. You may wake up in the morning tomorrow and you feel totally different than you have today. You can't base your salvation on your feelings. All you can base it on is the Word of God, and the Word of God is a solid foundation. I've done everything I know in that Bible, it says. And I know, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep me. I can't keep myself. I started right up here in this old church building. Used to be the old church building. I can't remember. Might have been Big John, my father-in-law. Somebody invited me to come. And that night the McCameys came and sang the first time. I enjoyed that. I did. And me and Shelley decided, well, we ought to just visit that church. And we started coming here in 1978. I got out of the Army of June of 1978. And I'm telling you what, Preacher Lawson liked to preach to us to death. Message hadn't changed, but then it was on a purpose. He preached on living by faith, living by faith, living by faith. I'd never heard that. Living by faith. He knocked one crutch out from underneath me, knocked another crutch out from underneath me by preaching the Word of God. And before I knew it, I was laying on the floor with nubs. I finally got to a place where God could talk to me and help me to understand that we're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing and minus nothing, and that we're kept by the grace of God. And I don't have to worry every single day about losing my salvation because He keeps me. I could just about shout on that tonight. I'm telling you what, I'm getting excited. I could wade in a little water tonight and praise God for His marvelous, glorious salvation. It's a life-changing experience. If you're not changed, you're not saved. You may come down here and whimper some little prayer, but if you go back to your fornication and your adultery and your smoking the dope and same old lifestyle, and you're comfortable in that and you're not convicted by that, you never got saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, preachy, you just need to calm it down just a little bit. Jehoshaphat recognized something different about the preaching of the 400 prophets. I'm so blessed and fortunate, blessed by God, to have been a part of this church since 1978. I've learned more Bible and more truth than I would have ever learned anywhere else. Now, I'm getting on up there in years. I'm 68, I'll be 69 in November. There's one thing you better not do. You better not say anything bad about my pastor and about my church. Because we'll become unfriended in a hurry. I know our pastors heard this. There's all the time people in the church that got suggestions on how things are to be done. They want to tell the preacher, and listen, if they're too chicken to talk to the preacher, they go to the preacher's wife. Because they know that the wife will tell them. Sweetie, am I telling the truth tonight, sweetie? She knows it. She knows. When I first started pastoring, I thought everybody that put a Bible under their arm were Christians. I got to pastoring some of these people, and Shelley would every once in a while say, "You better be careful of that one right over there." And I just kind of blow it off a little bit, you know. I'm the pastor, you know. I can tell that. God give my wife a gift of discernment. She's got some discernment. The very people that she warned me about stood in front of me with tears dripping off their face, telling me how much they loved me, and just months later had a knife in my back. I'm sorry, baby doll, I didn't listen to you then. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet? Is there not here another?" Yeah, there is one. Was all Ahab, I'm sure, could do just to squeeze this out. It's Micaiah. But I hate him. I'm telling you what, that's pretty rough. I've heard people say, "I hate that preacher down there." Well, why do you hate him? He's all the time preaching negative. I remember years ago, I went to this church to preach, I was invited. I was at pastors between churches, and the pastor took me downstairs and wanted to talk with me and said, "Now, I'm not telling you to preach." That should have been ears up right there. Said, "There's some things that we differ on," and I said, "They probably are, but I know this, that God's not the author of confusion. God would never put something on my heart at all to preach. If God put it on my heart, it would be from God, and it wouldn't cause any confusion in the congregation at all." Yeah, he was telling me what to preach and what not to preach. I didn't take it too personal. I just preached what God put on my heart. And you know something? My sister got saved that night. Yeah, my sister got saved. You can ask her tonight, she'll still go back to that time. And I'm glad that she got in. I really am. And so Ahab said, messengers said, "Go get Micaiah. Bring him up here, bring him on. I'm going to try to hurry through tonight. I know you're getting anxious. But I got to preach what God's put on my heart. Bring him on up." And every time he comes up, he don't have anything good to say about me. It's always something bad. So they brought him in, and the messenger went down and got. Well, Micaiah said this, said, "Listen, all 400 of these prophets of Ahab, they speak as one." That's when it's funny to me. So when you go up to Ahab, you go ahead and join them and speak along with them. So I think in Micaiah's head, see, he's thinking on his way up, said, "I'm going to toy with them." And so when he got up there, Ahab looked at him and said, "Should we go up to Ramoth Gilead and will God deliver it into our hands? Is that the will of God?" And he said, "Go on up." And Ahab said, "All right, something wrong with this Micaiah. I adjure you. How many times I tell you, tell me the truth. And so Micaiah just let him have it. And said, I see Israel scattered on the hills as sheep having no shepherd. They're all over the place. Ahab was never their shepherd, because he took God Almighty away from them and put an idol in front of them. Somebody said, preacher, just need to back off just a little bit. Can you tone it down just a small bit? And can I can't do it. I'm bound by the word of God and the call of God to preach the Bible the way God put it on my heart. And there's one thing I never want to do, and that's to learn how to preach. I don't want to learn. I want to be scared and nervous when I get up here, where I can trust in God to bring every word that God wants said. And when I get to that boundary, then I want God to say to shut up, and it's time to be quiet. I'm done with you. And Micaiah come up and told him to go ahead and said, no, you tell me the truth. And he preached the truth to him. And you know something? People today, I want to tell you, we complain today about, we complain about our country. Our country is in a pitiful shape. It's as sorry and low down as I've ever seen it. And we can complain about it. But I'm going to tell you, it started back when the churches and the preachers of God's men started compromising the Word of God. And they got away from preaching the Bible and started tickling people's ear and doing it for filthy lucre. Amen. That's where the blame goes, is from the pulpits of America. I can remember back, and I'm just a young boy. Well, they had the amen corner that the deacon set in, and they sicked him like hound dogs. I'm telling you, people shouted the praises of God. They worshiped God. And listen, I'm all for it. I'm all for shouting, but you better find out one thing. Is God in it? Is the Spirit of God in it? Because if the Spirit of God is not in that, then the best thing for you to do is sit down and shut up. Amen. God blessed us last Sunday night, didn't he? You know when the Spirit of God moves in a place. The Spirit of God spoke to the pastor's heart and said, no, it's not time to shut her out yet. More people came down. Brother, sing another verse of that. Brother, sing another verse of that. Let's sing another. And people started filling. You know why? Because the Spirit of God was here and he was working. He was working. Oh, I got some fond memories. I remember Brother Ed Blue preaching here in this church, and there'd be a night sometimes that the power of God would move into this place and he wouldn't be able to preach, and people would start getting saved and getting right. And Barry, you remember the night that my brother-in-law Tony Cox got in his car, got down here at Walgreens, I believe on the corner used to be, or Lambert's, and had to turn around and came back in the church and said, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. We need the convicting power of the Spirit of God again. Yeah. Preacher preached a wonderful message this morning. It was a sobering message. There's a difference in hearing the Word of God here and hearing the Word of God there. Here you may not be as much accountable, but once you hear it from the heart, you're fully accountable unto God. Fully. That means that the Holy Ghost, I'll never forget the night. And that preacher was preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. Listen, my wife was instrumental because she'd got saved a year before I did. And her life was instrumental in getting me there that night to hear the gospel of the grace of God. She was tired of the wicked life I was living and said, I'm taking our son and I'm not going back with you, I'm staying home. And that still small voice, I was raised in church all my life. Listen, I remember Brother Moody, my Sunday school teacher, teaching the Bible. Some of you Sunday school teachers get discouraged because your kids act like they're not listening to you. They're listening and hearing more than you think they are. But that night, the Holy Ghost started dealing with me before I ever even got to the church. I drove from West Knoxville all the way to Powell to my mom and daddy's house to change clothes, to go all the way to South Knoxville to Bell's Chapel Baptist Church to a New Year's Night Watch service. And I was trying to get dressed at Mom and Dad's, and I was already trembling and shaking. And Mom said, we knew that God was dealing with your heart. And me and your daddy got down when you left and walked out that door. And we got on our knees and we prayed to God for you that God would do something for you. I was nothing but a dopehead and a drunkard. That's all I was. I wasn't worth the powder and lead it'd take to blow me into hell. But all the way to church that night, my foot was a-shaking and trembling on the gas, and I was trembling and shaking all over, and I walked in and that preacher began to preach the word of God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, he came by me and spoke to me personally and showed me where I was, where I was going without Jesus Christ. And as soon as that invitation was given, I shot out and got to an altar and got a hold of God, and I stood up that night a totally different person. Boy, I can shout the rest of the night over that. Bless his holy name. Thank God for what he's done for me. Praise his righteous name. You ought to be glad you're saved tonight. I remember something Richard Nixon done one time. You remember he was always this right here. It's always this. Ronnie and Beverly were sitting here. They know exactly what I'm about to do. Hey, some of you tonight look like you're sucking on an unripe persimmon. Well, if you'll drop this hand and just put them two up and push them right there and give a little push, it'll make you smile. Sitting there like a prune face. Listen, getting born again and saved by the greatest is the greatest experience that you'll ever have in your life. Yes. Amen. So I'm going to finish the message tonight. Ahab knew it. He knew. He told Jehoshaphat, you go ahead and wear your kingly apparel. Let's go on into battle. Ahab said, I'm going to disguise myself. They got on down there near Ramoth Gilead and started fighting and battling. And the king of Ramoth Gilead had told them, said, listen, don't bother with the rest of the soldiers. You just find the king and you eliminate the king. And I'm telling you, Jehoshaphat's riding that horse, that chariot, whatever it's in, down through there, and all of a sudden, every one of those soldiers gathered around him. And boy, he starts saying, hey, hold it. Wait, I'm not Ahab. I'm Jehoshaphat. He about lost his life for making a wrong allegiance. And I'm going to tell you something. You make the wrong allegiance with the wrong people, you may lose your life. Especially the worst things, your testimony. You say, well, I'll just go hide from God. All right, you go on, ride your horse wherever you want to ride it.
You go ahead and write it. You can write it down to Florida. I don't care. But the Bible said this, that peradventure there was a soldier just drew an arrow and shot it up in the air. Don't you wish we could kill deer like that, Barry? Don't laugh, Ryan. You got to know where to hit them at. It was peradventure. He shot an arrow. And lo and behold, that arrow fell exactly beneath the garments and stabbed Ahab. He was wounded. He said, pull me over the side. See, God knows where you're sitting tonight. It's not me. I don't judge you. All I do is preach the word that God gave me. And I didn't finish everything tonight. But it's time for me to stop. And God's speaking to you tonight about anything. If the preacher ever failed God more times than I can count on 50 hands and 50 feet. I failed him many a time. Sometimes I've got upset because of God's decisions. And I say to myself, I wonder why he did that. Really, I'm saying, God, why did you do that? Why did that happen? Some of you sitting here tonight's got things in your life ought not be there, and you know it. And you've been fighting and wrestling all along. This Bible reads us. I'm going to tell you, if you want some good reading and good studying, you go back and study that and then go to 2 Chronicles and study it where it's recorded there, and you're going to find some good stuff. Let me just put this out here. I'm not going to tell you how, but you'll go find out what happened to Jezebel. It'll blow your mind. And it was prophesied by the prophet. I'm going to tell you, when God's word says it, don't matter whether I believe it or not, it's settled. It settles the matter. There's a lot of things in here that I don't understand. It said this, that the Lord sent a lying spirit into the mouth of Ahab's prophets. I believe that. I don't fully, completely comprehend and understand all of that. Maybe pastor sometime teach on that and help us out. There's a lot of things I don't understand in this Bible. Tons and tons and tons. And then when I think I understand something, I unfold something else and God shows me something different. Because that book's alive. There's not another book like that King James Bible right there. Not another on the face of this earth. That's my message tonight. I hope you got something out of it, something to help you tonight. Brother, you come on.